Well, this morning we're going to talk about daily bread. Give us this day. And to start out, I probably don't need any more daily bread. I remember seeing there was a movie, a guy decided, I eat a lot of bread. And I know they say bread, your body doesn't digest it real well. It is just too good to pass up. Last night, my wife and I, we went to a favorite restaurant, just a last-minute, late-night thing, and I told myself, don't eat after 9, so where did we go? We went to the Olive Garden, because that's a good place to go not eat bread. I love it. I mean, where else can you go to have an endless supply of all that wonderful French buttered bread? I mean, hot French buttered bread, and oh, and the Caesar salads, and the lasagnas, and the fettuccine Alfredo. Whew. What was I thinking? And so we went and we had an endless supply. You know, and I don't feel so bad because at least I don't do what the one guy did a few years ago and made a movie about it. I think it was called Supersize Me. And I think for 30 days, this man made a decision that every single meal, all that he ate was McDonald's. I mean, Big Mac after Big Mac, French fries, Supersize It, Coke Pop, apple pies. I mean, you name it, that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 30 days. He put on just a couple of pounds. And all of his blood cells in his veins were just kind of crawling through the quagmire to his heart. 30 days, he put on 30 pounds of McDonald's grease. And I know, because my son worked at McDonald's for a short time. I know what they do. They take those little burgers and they dip them in the grease thing, and then they cook them. I said, really, don't tell me those kind of things. I don't want to know because I just enjoy it way too much. I love eating the bread. I love food. I absolutely love my daily bread. Jesus said, pray, our Father, you know, that, you know, give us this day our daily bread. When we were on the ship, I love the one thing I love about going on a cruise, and I'm a lifer now. I didn't do one until just a few years ago. Now we've been on 3, and I'm ready for number 4 next week. I am ready. We were sitting at dinner. You know, it's the only place you can go, and it's all you can eat all the time. And it doesn't cost you a penny. And so, I mean, it's 24 hours of food. Well, it doesn't cost you a penny to eat once you get on the boat. The ship, excuse me. A boat's what you get on when the ship is sinking. That's what they told us when I said, this is a big boat. Oh, no, those are the boats. That's what you get on when this sinks. And I went, sinks. Just as long as I can eat before we sink. We got on there. I met a guy by the name of Jerome. I got to tell you, Jerome's from Little Rock, Arkansas. He's a good old Southern boy, and he is huge. He's like 6'6", and I'm telling you, he pushes 300. And we became very good friends there at our dinner table, and we hung out all week. I mean, we ran into him on different island excursions, but Jerome and I got into this little contest at the dinner table. I mean, because you can order, I mean, the first night, and I know this, it's his first cruise, and in fact, he was scared to even go. We're sitting there, and I'm ordering. I'll say, yeah, I'll have this for an appetizer. Go ahead and give me the shrimp for the appetizer. I'll have a Caesar salad, and I'll have the ribs. And, oh, hey, by the way, go ahead and bring me a steak, too. And he'd already ordered, and he looked up. He goes, you can do that? I said, Jerome, I'm buying tonight. Go ahead and order anything you want. I said, you can buy tomorrow night. And he just laughed, and what a nice couple. And he looked at me, he goes, really? And he called our waiter over, who was from Peru, and he goes, hey, give me one of those two, and give me one of these, and one of these. And I said, oh, really? Well, give me one of these. We got into this eating war on the boat, on the ship. That's not a good thing to do. We got into an eating war. The night we had lobster. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, and this hot butter. Oh, and these lobster tails were like this. And I said, bring me two. And he goes, oh, you can get two. Oh, yeah, yeah. He says, bring me two. And then after we got done, I said, bring me another one. He goes, bring me another one. I said, bring me another one and bring me some shrimp on the side. Oh, yeah, bring me some shrimp, and I want some of that chocolate pie, and get me one of these. I said, get me another lobster tail. So here comes my fourth lobster tail. I said, honestly, I lose, you win, here. And I passed down, and he ate that fourth lobster tail and everything else. Our wives are looking at us just shaking their heads like, what are you guys doing? And the waiters, they just thought it was hilarious. They just kept bringing us food. They just thought it was the funniest thing, and they'd bring us stuff we didn't even order. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, too bad you can't bring that stuff home, but I thought, I'm going to pay for this whole cruise on this one dinner right now tonight. We had a great time. I don't think that's what Jesus meant when he said, give us this day our daily bread. I'm certain that's not what he meant. Well, what did he mean? Give us this day our daily bread. We should eat. We should eat every day. And we do eat every day. In fact, if you don't eat, you know, it doesn't take long before we become like the children of Israel and we start grumbling, right? Isn't it amazing? I mean, it seems like kids, they can't even go a meal. They can't even go 2 hours. I haven't eaten. I'm so hungry. And like Moses and the kids there, they start grumbling. Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know any grumblers. Do you know any grumblers? I don't know people grumbling. I mean, think about this. They just left Egypt. They just went through, I can't imagine this. They just went through the Red Sea. They just went through, not over, they went through the Red Sea. I don't know, that's kind of an amazing thing to me. Somebody once said, some theologians from England said, at one of the great Bible colleges said, never happened. I love what's being taught at Bible college these days. You got to really find a good church and a good college to find the truth of God. And that's including Bible colleges. So this guy said, well, it never happened. I've done my studies, and they went through the sea of reeds, which is true. There is a sea of reeds. And it wasn't a miracle. It's only 2 inches deep. Well, there's still a miracle because then all of the army of Pharaoh drowned in 2 inches of water. Miracle. It happened. You can't argue with the Bible. Not only that, but they just found the crest. They found a place where there's a small pitch, because if you go to the bottom of the Red Sea, there's these giant boulders. They're huge. I mean, they're just life-size, massive boulders. Nobody could walk across the bottom of the Red Sea. Divers have been down there. But what they did discover is they found a plate. It's interesting. They actually found the plate. And it's got a small gradual thing, and it's as smooth as you can imagine. And it goes all the way across the Red Sea and then gradually ascends on the other side. You know what's interesting that they found in the rocks below, as this thing drops to the bottom of the Red Sea, they found markings of Pharaoh from that century, from an army. They found wheels. They found horse bits. They found markings with stamps of Pharaoh of Ramses. Well, of course they did. We read that. Of course we knew that happened. But science, I love it. They catch up eventually. They had just walked through, they just passed the Red Sea. Now they're in the desert, about 2 weeks past. There's about 1 million men, the Bible says. 1 million men. Could you imagine feeding 1 million men, ladies? I mean, you've got problems. There's no all-you-can-eat chance buffet. They've got whatever food they took on their backs. They've got their livestock. They've got their children. There's probably close to 2 to 3 million people, and they're going into a desert. I love this. They're going into a desert, and it says after 15 days, they started grumbling. They're hungry. It's been 15 days. They've probably eaten what was ever in their backpacks. You can imagine how they were grumbling at Moses. And I love what happened. It says somewhere between Elim and Sinai. Here's the sermon today. Somewhere between Elim and Sinai, somewhere between my captivity in my bondage of sin and the promise of God, we find the children of God. Guess what, folks? Welcome to the desert of sin. It says, in the desert of sin, somewhere between Elim and Sinai, somewhere between where I used to live and where God is going to take me, that's where I am today. And you know what? God, here it is. Don't curse the desert, because it's probably God who's taking you through the desert. And why is God taking you to the desert? I'm glad you asked, because he wants us to be dependent upon him. You see, if he would have put a McDonald's out there, and there is one in that area, they were about 3,500 years too early. There would have been food there, but there's no food there. Why? Because somewhere between where I used to be and where I want to be, God is trying to get me to depend on him. You see, if God would have taken them through the Fertile Crescent up along the Mediterranean Sea, which is a passageway, they would have had all the shade that they wanted. They would have had water. They would have had food, fruit coming off the tree. But you know what? What kind of prayer do you pray standing on the beach? Huh, this is nice. Thanks, God. This is beautiful. What kind of prayer do you pray when you're knee-deep? I'm knee-deep into this situation. God, I could use your help soon. But if you don't show up, probably not a big deal. I'm standing on my own 2 feet. Can I tell you what prayer you pray out in the middle of the storm when it's so far over your head? You start crying out, God, if you don't give me, I'm going to drown. See, when cancer is brought up in the conversation, when divorce is brought up in the situation, when bankruptcy is brought up in the situation, your prayers change. All of a sudden, in the desert of sin, what do you pray? All of a sudden, God, if you don't show up, I think I'm going to die. You see, where I used to be is in Elam, but I'm on my way to Sinai. I'm on my way to the promise of God. But in the meantime, God is trying to get the things out of me, the desert of sin, and he's trying to get the manna of God, the bread of life, into me. Whew, that's okay, we're good. Did you get that? God is trying to get the sin out of me in the journey, and he's trying to get the bread of life into me. And so here they are on their way, and God's trying to get them dependent on him. And you know what the problem is? The problem is nobody wants to go to the desert. Oh. How many times we grumble when bad things start happening? And God says, instead of grumbling, how about you praise me? I'm sorry. Did you say, when things are going bad, instead of grumbling, I ought to be happy? What kind of world do you live in? I'd like to live in the world that says, give us this day our daily bread. That's the world I want to live in. What kind of world is that? It's the world where God is working things out of me so that he can put things into me. That's the world I want to live in. Why? Because there's something great about that. You see, if God doesn't take us there, can I be honest with you? I think there's a lot of Christians that just don't really care a whole lot about prayer. I don't think they care a whole lot about daily bread. I think there are people who just basically, here it is. I think there are people who basically say, I believe in God and I go to church. And I'm telling you, you're missing out on some of the greatest things in the world. Because just going to church, it's good, and believing in God is great. But living in a place where God is moving in your life and great things are happening, I want his will to be done in my life. I want to see the hand of God move. I want to see water come out of a rock, and I want to see manna out of heaven. You know, the Bible says this. It says, at night you will know God, and in the morning you will see his glory. I don't know about you, but at night I want to know God so that tomorrow morning I can see his glory. Now listen, go to church. That's great. Coming to church is a good thing. But there are people who have never experienced that kind of manna in their life. And God wants us to become dependent on him. It's like, how do I do that? How do I become dependent on God when I'm in control? Dr. Tony Evans said this, you will never discover God is all you need until you discover God is all you have. Let me say that again. You will never discover that God is all you need until you discover that God is all you have. Have you ever been there? Boy, I tell you right now, there's probably a lot of people who could stand up and testify. I mean, you've been in the desert in your life. Some of you are going through the desert of your life right now. Listen, I've always said this, and I really believe it. Some of you just came out of the desert. Most of you are in the desert, and some of you are about to go back into the desert. It's true. Why? Because God wants us to cry out to him and say, God, I can't do this. And he says, now we can do something. You see, when I say I can do it, what need is there of God? My mom questions me all the time. She's the woman that loves the Lord with all her heart, and she always asks me the question, what are you doing in your life, Mitch? What are you doing in your life that without God you'd fail? Well, I tell you, that's a big question. Well, I can sing songs without God. Do you know I could sit here and sing these songs and not be a Christian? Anybody can sing a song. I can read my Bible and not be a Christian. I can go to church this morning and not be a Christian. I don't need God to do any of those things. So here's the question. What are you doing in your life that without God you'd absolutely fail? You're probably getting close to that place where you are so dependent on God, you're understanding it now in your life. So what are you doing there? God wants to create a spiritual appetite in our lives. I mean, you can eat all the food. I was sitting waiting for people to clear out of Olive Garden last night. It was about a half hour wait for us. We're sitting there, and there are people walking out. I'm not kidding you. They've got those little styrofoam boxes, you know, those tank home boxes with food in it, and guys are walking out doing this. Oh, honey, you're going to have to open the door. You better roll me to the car. I can't hardly walk. I'm going, oh, I'm so hungry. They've eaten so much food that by the time the meal got there, they had to box it up and take it home. Now I'm thinking, I'm ready. I got my appetite on. I'm ready. Let's go for it. How many times that happens? I mean, listen, in this world, we can do that. Any one of us in this room at any moment could probably fill our belly so full that we'd say, oh, I don't have room for any more. But God is trying to get us dependent not on bread. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word of God. God wants to get us, wouldn't it be great if people walked out of church that they got so full, they go, honey, you better go get the car. That word was so good today, I don't think I could take anymore. I think I'm going to box up the rest of it, go home and get blessed tonight. Wouldn't that be great? How about God blesses us? I mean, you can get 70,000 fans to pay $4,600 on average to go watch the Super Bowl. But you can't hardly fill churches up, and they're going to go watch a football game. And I say, God's got some manna from heaven. He wants to fill you up. It's better than bread because you cannot live on bread alone, but on every word of God. And I say, God, set the table. I'm hungry. Why don't you start this meal out this way? I'd like to start with, give me a little bit of the Jeremiah special. That's what I want. Give me a big plate of Jeremiah special. What is that? In chapter 29, verse 11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, give you a hope and a future. God, just pile that on my plate. I'm going to have a little Jeremiah today. Oh, and while you're at it, why don't you give me a little Pauline cuisine? That's right, the Apostle Paul. Give me a little of that. Give me a little on the side, that cuisine of the Pauline epistle right out of Ephesians 3:20 that says, and now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than I can even ask or imagine. Whew, God put a little bit of that on my dish. Oh, go right on over to Philippians. Keep that Pauline cuisine coming. Keep it coming, all I can eat. I want some of that stuff. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah, keep that coming in my life because man does not live by bread alone, but on every word of God. Oh, and while you're at it, why don't you just throw in a little side dish, Paul, of Romans chapter 8, which says this, that if God is for us, who can be against us? For I am convinced of this, that neither height nor depth, nor past nor present, nor angel, nor demon, nor anything else in all of creation can separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Woo! Give me a little of that on my plate. Hey, while you're at it, I don't want the mashed potatoes with gravy on it. Give me all of that and then just smother it in a double dose of Elisha. Give me a double portion of Elisha. That's right, the prophet who followed Elijah and says, if I see you taken up to heaven, I want a double portion of your anointing. And he got a double dose of that. Yeah, go ahead and give me two ladles of that all over the top of my Jeremiah special. Oh, and while you're at it, give me a little bit of that Mary side dish, a little bit of that Mary dessert, a young lady who found herself pregnant. And while she was sitting there pregnant, she says, how in the world did this happen? And God gave her a little bit of the word, and she got her daily bread. And he says, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Yeah, I'll have that for dessert. Oh, what would you like to drink, sir? Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to have what that woman right over there at that well had. Yeah, that's right. Go ahead and give me water welling up into eternal life that I will never thirst again. Go ahead and fill that cup up. You see, you go ahead and get your dinner table. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And man does not live by bread alone. You'll get hungry with that kind of stuff. But with this, you will never thirst again. I don't know what you're eating today, but I'm going to invite you into a new diet. You see, a man eating at McDonald's for 30 days needs to do a couple of things. He needs to cleanse out his body and start putting good stuff in. And when you're in the middle of that place, somewhere between Elam and Mount Sinai, somewhere in that desert of sin, God is saying, I got to purge you. I want to test you. And the Bible said, Moses, you go tell these people. You tell them that they're hungry. I've heard their growling, their grumbling. Whew. I got to tell you, I've been in the church for 25 years. People in church don't grumble. No. You don't know anybody that's ever grumbled in church, have you? Oh my goodness. Oh, church is so boring. They're not doing things the way they're supposed to be doing. I'm going to another church because the grass is always greener at the other church. I mean, think about this. I'm not kidding you. You can't write this stuff. They went up to Moses and they said, in the desert, the whole community, verse 2, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to themselves, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Really? I'm thinking Moses is going, yeah, if you'd only died. Listen to what they say. I love this. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. Really? Really? Wow, I thought you were slaves making bricks without mortar, being whipped, oppressed, and starved to death. It didn't even take you 2 weeks to run out of food. But there you sat around pots full of meat and all the food we wanted. And Pharaoh was the nicest guy in the world. We miss him. Oh, really? That's what I'm talking about. The little guy over here about this big said, Pharaoh wasn't the nicest guy in the world. You are so right. I'll tell you, and the children shall lead them today. I want you to know something. God doesn't care a whole lot about our grumbling in the sense that what God wants to do most of all in our hearts is to turn us towards Him. That we say, God, give me this day my daily bread. I want to step up to that table. God, I want heavenly manna. These guys really said that. Oh, we used to sit around. Oh, I remember the church 5 years ago. Oh, we used to sit around. Those were good days. Can I tell you something? You can't live in yesterday's blessings. God sends them the blessings of heaven. Manna, what is it? That's the definition. Don't you love that? These guys wake up in the morning, they look, the dew disappears, and they see this flaky, honey-like bread. And they go, what is it? Manna, that's the definition. What is it? They eat it. Oh, that's pretty good. All that you want today. Don't take any for tomorrow. You know what they do? I know what he said, but I've been hungry. It's been 15 days. I'm going to get me some for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And they go home. They go to sleep. They wake up in the morning. They go to get a little something to eat, and it's got little maggots crawling all through their bread. And you know what God is saying? No. 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 You know what you'll end up doing? You'll end up talking about the past of your Christian life. Oh, I remember when I used to be involved in church. Oh, I remember when God moved. When I lived in the South, they had this great saying. Oh, Brother Olson, back in 1902, oh, I remember when the fire fell. That's what they would say in the South, when the fire fell. I go, what is that? Oh, brother, 20 years ago, the fire fell in this church. And the Holy Spirit moved, and oh, I go, 20 years ago, the fire fell. You got maggots in your bread. There are people who are living in their past, and God says, I want to bless you today. I want to walk in your life today. I want to do something in your life today. Why are we living in the past? Now listen, those are great blessings, and we ought to count our blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what the Lord has done. We ought to do that. But there ought to be a place in my life, I'm walking with the Lord, I'm out in the desert going, God, if you don't save me, I'm going to starve. Are you kidding me? God, if you don't heal me, I'm probably going to die. God, if you don't save my children, I don't think I could go on living. God, if you don't change my finances, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, have you been listening? And God goes, Now you've got the passion I've been looking for. Let's do something great. And if you'll use that for my glory, I'm about to put manna into your life. And you step up to the table of Jeremiah, and you get on up there to what the Word says. Start agreeing with the Word says. Too many people walking around going, my life's just horrible. My life's just terrible. That's not what God says. Your life is wonderful. Terrible compared to what? We used to have this really good friend. His name was Pharaoh. We used to play cards at night, and we ate pizza and popcorn. I don't know what world you're living in, but those days are gone. You're somewhere between where you used to be and where you're going, and God wants to refine you with fire. He wants to change you in the middle of all this. So what are you going to do? You're going to let God change you? In the middle of all this, are you going to step up to the plate? In the middle of all this, you can't discover how much you need God. I'm sorry, let me say this again. You can't discover that God is all you need until you discover that God is all you have. The children of Israel, God said, if you'll know me tonight, you'll see my glory tomorrow. Give me this day my daily bread. Tonight, God, let your word fill me up, and tomorrow I'll see your glory. So we got to take that daily place. Jesus said, take that daily place so you can see the glory of God tomorrow. We can't eat once a week. We can't eat once every 15 days. We can't live on that. And your spirit within you, God wants you to be a spiritual feeder, not just a physical feeder. Instead of stepping up to the table of the all-you-can-eat fish and chips, Jesus said this in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. And you know what he used? What did he use? He used a couple loaves and a fish. And he fed 5,000 people. They had just stepped to all you can eat. Give us this day our daily bread. People love the all you can eat dinners. But God's inviting us to something different. It said, Jesus turns and he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up. You know what he's talking about? Manna from heaven. He says, you got to get the spiritual side. You're eating. You like the fish and chips. When he said this, you know what happened in John 6:66? It says, at that time, many of his disciples no longer followed him. They said, this is a hard thing to swallow. We're not doing this. We loved the fish, we loved the bread, but we don't like this. It's easy to feed churches. We had a great meal here, and by the way, thank you for all the families that came through in 2 days for the Beth Hover funeral. Yesterday, we had food here. It was incredible. I mean, there was roast, there was mashed potatoes, there was just everything you can imagine out here. I mean, there was gravy over the mashed potatoes. There was this succulent, moist, this roast beef that would just, you'd bite into it and it would just melt in your mouth. It would just fall apart. There were desserts out there, chocolate and brownies and cookies and pies and cakes. And there's good food. But more than anything yesterday, Beth said in a prayer just a few weeks back, Jesus, I trust you. I want you to come into my life. And would you be my Savior and save me? With MS and the end of her life, she found joy and peace. Her sister said her countenance changed completely. And all she could talk about was having a new life and a new body. Give us this day our daily bread. I remember the first time I ate at God's table. His blessings from heaven. He wants to do this in our lives. See, at night, you'll know me, and in the morning, you'll see my glory. Let me close it this way, and then we're going to take the elements. When I first met God, it was an incredible thing. I met God, and I absolutely fell in love. I was introduced to my Savior. I mean, it didn't take a choir. It didn't take a musician. It didn't take any fancy drama. I simply sat in an office, and a gentleman shared with me the greatest thing I'd ever heard in my life, that God loved me so much that he was willing to give his life, that I would receive that, that he would come into my life and change. And I'll tell you, I had a peace in my heart that I'd never felt before. I was 19 years old. I absolutely left Elam. And I was on my way, and I'm still on my way to Sinai. And since that time, I've been walking with God. And there's times in my life just like you. I cry out, God, do you understand what's going on in my life? I mean, we talk all the time. Did you just quit? I'm just being honest. I don't know if you can talk that way to God. In your life, I think God can handle it. He's handled everything else this world has had, and he still loves us. He knows your heart. Why don't you go ahead and just tell him? And there's been times in my life, and I remember one night, and I just needed the man. I came home. I was so excited about what God was doing, and I went to my dad that evening. It was before sunset. It was right around supper time, and I was sitting in the farmhouse. I said, Dad, I'm not going back to law school. I'm not going to finish this. And he said, yes, you are. I said, no, Dad, God has called me to be a pastor. I'm going to be a preacher. He says, no, you're not. I said, but Dad, he has. He says, no, you're not. I said, I'm supposed to go to Oklahoma. It's 1,000 miles away. It's a private college. It's a lot of money. He says, no, you're not. We can't afford it. That's not what God has for you. You're going back to the finish of your law degree. Boy, you want to know how your prayers are in those kind of moments? I remember walking out and going about 50 yards to the left, right to the west. I remember walking, seeing that blue sky with these rolling white clouds in the Dakota sky that seems like they go on forever. I remember looking up at that sky as the sun was trying to set right by the chicken house. I'll never forget that moment. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I absolutely need you. How in the world could you call me to something and then not make it happen? And I want you to know something. When God calls you to something, hey, kids, we're going to the promised land, all 3 million, over the next 40 years, and we're going through a desert. That God will supply all of your needs. He never calls you to something that he doesn't always give you the manna from heaven to make it happen. And so I remember that, and God said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. You see, it says, you will know me, they will know me in the evening, and they will see my glory in the morning. That next day, we got up, it was August, school was about to start, we were harvesting right in the middle of August, and Dad's out on the 8801 John Deere custom combine. I mean, it was one of the state-of-the-art, and he's up there doing it. We're harvesting flax. And if you know anything about farming, you'll know that we're running about 20 bushel an acre, which is a great crop for flax. We're running these 20 bushel at the time. I'm driving the truck. I got the grain trucks. He's loading it in from the hopper. I go and dump it into the augers, set it into the bins back at the farm, drive back out to the field. We're doing this all morning. I'm going back. He says, I'll be in for lunch. Go ahead and take this last load in. We'll take our lunch break. I go into the farmhouse. I get a sandwich. I'm sitting down to eat. I'm doing what we did at lunchtime. I sit down to eat my lunch. I'm watching Days of Our Lives. I wish I told you it was more exciting than that, but that's what we were doing. I didn't know if Marlena was going to marry Bo. Some of you are going, he's right. I know. I watched it for a year. That was how exciting my life was. That's what farmers did. I'm watching sitting in the living room, eating my sandwich, waiting to go back out and get another load, waiting for Dad to come in. He comes in, and my father, who's kind of a calm guy, he's not emotional, comes running into the farmhouse. As he runs into the house, he's screaming. I'm thinking, okay, somebody's gotten hurt, somebody's died, something's wrong, what's going on? He runs into the living room. He says, hey, you're going to Oklahoma. You're going to Oklahoma. I said, whoa, what's going on? He said, I was out in the tractor. I was praying, God, what are you going to do with my son? And God said, he's going to be a preacher. He's going to Oklahoma, Bob. He's going to Oklahoma. You got to let him go, and you're going to pay for it. And he's telling me this, and I'm thinking, what happened in that combine? Because God will never call you to anything that he will not also supply all your needs. He said, so I'm going, and God says this. At that time, we started running for the rest of the field and the rest of the week, 40 bushel an acre. It went from 20 to 40. See, God says, Jesus said, I will give you 30, 60, and 100 fold in your blessing. We didn't get to 30 on the minimum. We didn't get 60 in the middle. God gave us the maximum blessing because we needed the money to get me to Bible college. And God never calls us in the desert to something that he doesn't send the manna to feed us. See, in the evening you'll know him, but in the morning you'll see his glory. And that day I saw God's glory, and 2.5 weeks later I was down at college, and 3 months later I met my wife, and 8 months later we were married, and I saw his glory. See, God will raise you up and give you more than you can even ask or even imagine. See, that's the Pauline cuisine. I don't know what table you're eating at today, but I want to invite you in. God says, go out to the streets and invite all the children in. And the guy goes out and says, come on, Dad's throwing a dinner tonight. It's huge. And it's dinner time. And he says to a servant, he says, where's everybody at? I went and told everybody. You told everybody. I told all the kids to come and eat. It's dinner time. He says, where are they? Nobody's hungry. He says, then you do this for me. If the kids won't come eat, you go to the alleys, you go to the brothels, you go to the bars, and you ask them, would you like to come to dinner? I'm thinking, really? That's why when I was 19, I fell in love with him. I was in the bars. I was in the brothels. I was in the alley. See, the kids of God, if they don't want to eat dinner, get me a fork. I'm hungry. I love God with all my heart. And I want that spiritual appetite in my life. Because tomorrow, Monday morning, I want to see his glory. I invite you to that glory. We have open communion at Grace. What does that mean? It means if you love God and you've received him into your life, you're welcome to receive communion. Brother Ron, would you come up? See, Jesus invited a bunch of people. He says, this is my flesh. You have to eat it. This is my blood. Please drink it. And they looked at him and they said, we really aren't ready for this. Olive Garden's okay. This whole thing that you're talking about's a little beyond us. That says they left. So here it is. To the alleys, to the side streets, from Marine City to Yale, St. Clair to Croslex, and everywhere in between. There's a dinner today, and you're all invited. And God says, this is my body broken for you. Jesus was broken in a way that no man should have ever been broken. But his brokenness means you can be healed. His blood was poured out, not for his sins. His blood was poured out so that your blood would not be poured out. My sins for his righteousness. His brokenness for my healing. That's what God offers today. We invite you to come. We're going to ask the other gentlemen. We're going to have in 4 places, 2 of us here, that you would come, 1 on each end. And we have open communion. We just ask that you prepare your hearts even now. And what you'll do is, this is intinction, which means you take the element, the body of Christ, you take it, you dip it in to the cup, and you take and you receive communion today. This is his body. Father, it was broken. And you said, do this when you remember me. And Father, today we remember. We think about the manna from heaven and how you have become the bread of life. I'm hungry today, and I invite all here to be hungry as well. So, Lord, we thank you for the body, and we thank you for the blood that was shed. You said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so, Jesus, we thank you in the strangest of ways. We thank you for shedding your blood for us, that we might be whole. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to invite you row by row, starting with the front rows, if you would, when you're ready. Let's stand together to have shared the communion of the Lord. Jesus speaks about, in his Father's house are many mansions. God speaks about a great banquet. In the meantime, as we've left where we have been, and we're on our way to that place that Jesus speaks of, in the meantime, as you go through those arid places, those places that aren't any fun, may you know this, that God himself goes with you. In the words of Joshua chapter 1, he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Do not turn to the left, and do not turn to the right, but keep yourself going forward. I tell you again, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Wherever you put your foot, I will give to you, and I will bless you. May that be our benediction for today. And now, Father, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask, think, or imagine, according to his power that's at work with us in Christ Jesus our Lord, to him be glory forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.